Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
It's Daddy Speaks, the international transformational storyteller. Just what you need. Time to listen up for motivation on a journey with Daddy Speaks.
Everyone, my name is Dr. Betty Speaks, and I am your lifetime imprint leader. I'm extremely passionate about empowering individuals to resurrect and establish themselves through the four components of life. And those components, as you know, are spiritual growth, financial literacy, personal development, and professional development. Those are four components. And we all know that there are other components that we have to instill in our life journey, but those four right there are so unique. They're so much needed. And as most of you get to know me, we're throwing in other components as well. So I'm that chosen warrior who inspires others to create an imprint that will live on long after they are gone. And I hold virtual group and family workshops on leaving an imprint. I will actually help you understand the importance of rising above your life encounters and how you shall start facilitating simple things into your life just by getting rid of the stress that plagues our nation. So if you're that person that has things in your life that you need to overcome, let's get together. And I thank you for tuning in to today's show. This is that intentional, motivational, plus inspirational show that is filled with wisdom that will awaken your hope, your ambition, your faith, and inner strength, plus cover a variety of genuine life-changing topics that with the knowledge that strength doesn't come from what you can do, but overcoming those things you once thought you couldn't. As you notice today, we have an amazing, amazing topic, and it is embracing integrity, leaving an imprint for infinity. It's embracing integrity. And I have an amazing guest with me today, and I'm sure you hear me say that each week, an amazing guest, but they just keep getting better and better and better. But this guest I've been reaching for so long, I think it's been about 3 years, as I've mentioned to him, but he's doing amazing things around the world. And once you get to know him, once you get to know his passion, you're going to want to be tethered with him and follow him and his leadership. He is an amazing leader. I have to tell you that when I saw some of the people that he's tethered with, these people I have been following for most of my life as well. But what I'm going to do is move out of the way and allow him to come on and introduce himself and tell you who he is and what it is that he does. I want him to also share with you where he's hailed from. Are you there, guest?
Hi, how are you?
I am well. Yes. You know, sir, I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell our audience who you are, because they know that this is a worldwide show with over 250 million listeners.
Wow. I'm really humbled to be here. My name is Dr. Astel Collins, and I'm from Guyana, South America. Most people would know that we were just above Brazil, neighboring Suriname and Venezuela. We've just discovered oil, I think. It is purported that we'll be the Dubai of this hemisphere. So there's a lot of interest in Guyana now. I think what we're known for in the US is the Jim Jones crisis.
Yes.
Jim Jones was an ex-CIA, I believe, and he massacred a few hundred Guyanese citizens. That's what we've been on the map for. So it's been a challenge for us to actually rebrand what it means to be Guyanese and what is Guyana, so to speak. But we've What is interesting about Guyana, we're the only English-speaking country in South America. However, we have a greater affiliation to the Caribbean. Actually, CARICOM, which is the Caribbean community, is headquartered in Guyana. So there's a stronger affiliation with CARICOM than our continental neighbors. So even though we're in South America, in the continent, we are more Caribbean, so to speak. But we are landlocked in South America, but it's the only English-speaking country in South America.
Yes. Oh my goodness. See, I just learned something even more, you know, and I have to tell our audience that Dr. Estelle is he's being modest with you today on who he is, but he is definitely an educator. And if you can see his smile, like I see his smile right now, it's very modest, honestly. I appreciate what you just said, especially about the Jim Jones incident. Honestly, I had some things we just totally forget about and we put them behind us. But honestly, thank you for sharing that information with us again. And that was definitely a horrific time. And I still can't believe that that actually took place. But today we're talking about, there was a lot of things that took place with even that incident that involved integrity. So, you know, so we're talking about embracing integrity today. And you are a father, you are a husband, you know, these things all require integrity. And I would love for you to share with us your definition of embracing integrity.
I believe integrity is simply integrating what I think with what I say and what I do. So there's no variance, there's no deviation. If I say I'm going to do it, I would have a thought about it first, and then my action correlates with what I said. So simply, I believe that it's an integration, it's a oneness. There is no deviation with what I'm thinking, with what I'm saying, with what I'm doing. And simply, I believe, you know, and integrity too is like, I think of abuse. Most people believe that abuse is external when somebody has done something to you. But it's the concept of self-inflicted abuse. It was my mentor, Dr. Myles Munroe, who posited that ignorance of purpose leads to inevitable abuse. Ooh. If I'm ignorant of a particular object, I can abuse it. But what if I'm ignorant about myself? Abuse is still inevitable. So even though there's not a third party, but it's just me, I believe that abuse still exists once this ignorance. So just like with integrity, it does not necessarily mean to what I am promising somebody else, but if I have not discovered who I am, if I've not discovered my talents, abilities, gifts, and strengths, I become a generational thief. And the simple fact that I am aiming to die old and not die empty, that speaks to a lack of integrity, because, you know, the fact that I'm alive testifies that there's a destiny that made me necessary. So if I don't fulfill that destiny, even though it does not include somebody else, however, my fulfillment of my destiny is usually in service of humanity. So my lack of integrity to myself is demonstrated by me not fulfilling what I was created to do. You know, in my seminars I've done, I used to live in South Africa. But when I came back to Guyana in 2012, December, I started doing leadership development seminars. I've done close to 1,500 seminars since my return in 2013. Well, I started in 2013. It was Dr. Myles Munroe who actually told me to go back home, that my nation needs me. So I came back with the idea to serve. Martin Luther King was the one who said, not everyone can be famous, but everyone can be great, because greatness is a matter of service. But you have to become a person of value to add value. So you usually, you know, it's like a teacher. They say a teacher is like a candle. It consumes itself, but it lights its way. It lights the way for others, but it usually consumes itself in lighting the way for others. It's really service to humanity. But, you know, they said a great teacher doesn't, they show you where to look, but they don't tell you what to see. And that's why there's almost a plethora of definitions for what integrity is. So I'm not one to be, because I've walked in the world of politics. So you know, there's a different definition of integrity. There are those who believe that, you know, well, they say the uninitiated or the masses, they don't need to know everything. So there's integrity to a manifesto, but not necessarily to the people. And hence you have the distinction between who is a leader and who's a politician. A leader is one who's concerned with the next generation. A politician is concerned with the next election.
Yes.
So you have to be careful, not necessarily to judge or be judgmental, because life strips you and robs you. Well, it doesn't rob you, but it strips you of that, the notion, which can be seductive, that you are an authority on what you have not yet lived. You know, I was speaking to a teacher of mine who taught me in secondary school, and I was telling him the incident with Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. And what stood out to me was T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes' response. He said, they asked him for a comment. He said, I have nothing to say. I am not finished living. Because no man knows what lies before him, what traps, what entrapment, what vices. And he said, we criticized Tiger Woods, but I told my teacher, I said, if you are not in a position where you're being offered a bribe, let's just bring it to the bribe.
Yes.
And you don't have the need to say no, how then can you say you have integrity? Yes. If you're in a position where nobody is presenting to you what Tiger Woods fell into, then how can you really, because you have not had the opportunity to refuse, how can you then say, because that has not been exercised. So if I am not being tempted, I'm not being tested, I am not allowed to say I have integrity. So I'm very cautious with the accolades and the titles and the judgments people actually make. So I just do the best I can from where I am, because, you know, we, as a human being, we're constantly evolving. There's an evolution, and I think it was Maya Angelou who says courage is the most important of all virtues, because without courage, you cannot practice any other virtue consistently. We can't be consistently kind, just, or fair. And sometimes, I'm a vegetarian. I was born a vegetarian. So my inclination to eat clean or meatless, I don't want to offend anyone, but my desire and my natural inclination to eat things that are not meat. If you try to be a vegetarian, I will outshine you, because I do not have an appetite for meat.
Oh.
So there are people who are naturally better human beings than those of us who try to be holy, try to be righteous. That's why Dr. Monroe talked about righteousness and integrity being a culture. So it's nothing that you put on. That's why even prayer, man ought always to pray. It's not something you do, it's who you are. It's in essence your being. So it's not what I do, this is who I am. That's why even teaching leadership development and all that, it's not what I do, it is who I am. If I can no longer, it's like, you know, we don't have to kill a fish, you just take it out of its element. You don't have to kill a fish, take it out of the water. You don't have to kill a tree, take it out of the soil. You don't have to kill man, just take him out of the presence of God. So it is not something we aim to do and become. It's just simply being. That's why we're human beings and not human doing. So how do I become a person of integrity? It should not be what I do in relation to somebody else, but it's a wholeness, it's a oneness. That's why it is said, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. If I don't have love for self, how can I love you authentically? And love cannot exist without knowledge. You know, you have to first know before you take that journey of discovery. And, you know, and so it's interesting to understand that we are not what, you know, what society has prescribed. We are not our social scripting. We are what God indeed has created us to be. And I think we really need to take a journey of self-discovery. Only then can we master our talents, abilities, gifts, and strengths. You know, it was, what's her name? Mother Teresa, who says, I'm a pen in the hand of a loving God writing the world of letter. So I believe that, and sometimes our challenges is what sharpens that pencil. So, yeah.
So what? Dr. Estelle, come on. Are you serious? I couldn't even take notes listening to you. I'm eating everything you're saying. Is that this has to be like a part 1, 2, 3, 4 series, because you have like, oh my goodness, where do I begin? When you said, it is who I am. It is who I am. You can't take me out of my element. I'm a vegetarian since birth. So you can't even allow me to eat meat. If you want to become a vegetarian, it may be close to impossible. It has to be who you are, a vegetarian. And then you talked about the fish, you know, if you want to kill something or someone, take them out of their element, you know. And honestly, that's even for that person that is, you made me think of another scripture. Oh gosh, it just flew away, but you blew me away with so many of your comments. Honestly, the Maya Angelou quote that you stole from me, I was gonna talk about that quote, but you've already given it. You know, I was born on Maya Angelou's birthday. So, yes, and Dr. Martin Luther King was killed on my birthday. So those were two powerful people in my life that left an imprint for infinity. That's what you're speaking on. Dr. Miles Monroe, come on, I got books galore from him. And you said what he told you was to come back to your country, your people need you.
And you know, I actually argued with him, because living in South Africa, I received South Africa's highest national youth award, ranking me as one of the most influential youth as a non-citizen, the ICUSASA Special Recognition Award. And I was doing a lot of seminars, even in his honor and in his name, because at the time I was with Charlie Masala, and there was ITWALA, or the Miles Monroe International Office in South Africa. So I was doing a lot of work with the universities and the schools and so forth, promoting his material, because I really became a student. I became a disciple of his. And he'd actually said when we went to, it was Durban, South Africa. And yes, he came and he pointed me out and said, my international youth ambassador. So I carried that. And so when he told me to come back home, I was reluctant. And I said, because in Guyana, we're only 800,000 citizens.
Wow. And
so South Africa has 52 million people. So imagine becoming a person of influence with 52 million opposed to 800,000.
Oh my.
So I did not want to come back, but I had to, because of I had to renew my passport.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come back, but I wanted to know if I should come back and stay or come just renew and go back. He said, I think you should go home. And I said, Dr. Manuel, I'd be a big fish in a small pond. Yeah, the same thing was
a big Christian in a small part.
A big fish in a small pond.
A big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
Wow.
He said, go back, be a big fish, and watch God give you the ocean. And it was one of my mentors, Hamilton Ratsifola, who said, whenever he's obedient, he said, you shall eat the fat of the land. He was, you know, obedient. And he told me the importance of being obedient, because he said, whenever he worked hard, he maintained his wealth, but obedience gave him the increase. So they that are willing and obedient shall eat the fat of the land. So he talked about the importance and the power of being obedient. So it was my obedience to Dr. Miles Monroe that allowed and facilitated me my return to Guyana. So that was quite interesting, even coming back, because we did not have a training or a training culture. So South Africa did a lot of training effortlessly. But Guyana, that was something. It happened, but it was not as widespread. So it was quite interesting to see how best to create an environment, because it's like a seed that has the capacity to be a tree. And not just a tree, but a forest. But that seed has to be planted. It has to be buried. It has to die to self for it to manifest the greatness that is buried within. That's why your future is not outside of you. It's not ahead of you. It is trapped within you. You just need the right environment. So I try to do that with my seminars. I'm now currently working for Zorwin's Consultancy and Training Institute, which allows me to create that environment.
Yeah.
And the Mavis Ben, who started it since 1992.
Wow.
So I was partnered with her, and we were doing, and you know, true to His Royal Highness Clyde Rivers, we actually instituted an aspect of civility and ethics. So all of our training has an aspect of civility and ethics, because Guyana speaks of one people. Our motto literally is one people, one nation, one destiny. We have six races, six national nationalities, six ethnic persuasion, or six ethnic representation of our land. You know, we are the true rainbow nation. When I lived in South Africa, they spoke of South Africa being a rainbow nation, but Guyana has six, six races, you know, to put it simply, six races. So you have opportunities for disunity. Let's just say that. Even our national motto, "Dear land of Guyana, rivers and plains, made rich by the sunshine and lush by the rains, set gem-like and fair between mountains and seas, your children salute you, dear land of the free. All sons of one mother Guyana, the free, one land of six peoples united and free, more worthy our heritage, land of the free." So you ask yourself, am I free, and what is freedom? And I usually do this in my seminars where I say, freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do when you want to, with whom you want to do. Freedom is responsibility and management. And the first resource you're given to manage is not money, but time. For whatever you mismanage, you will lose. And there was a book I gave to the president when I returned to Guyana. It was called The Burden of Freedom. To be free is literally to be fearless, to be free of fear. Because most people are incarcerated, not necessarily by an external force, but sometimes by the opinions of others, which is the worst form of incarceration. I am unable to do or be myself because I am thinking about what others are thinking. You know, that's why to educate a man in the mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. So, and there's nothing worse than someone who doesn't understand what he possesses. So even though we have been liberated, we might not have been freed, because liberation is not freedom. We can have liberties, but yet we're not free, because freedom speaks of a mentality. You know, the word says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." It is with the mind that we serve the Lord. You know, "I'm able to keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Christ." So be not conformed, but be he transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I believe, you know, do you have the mind of Christ, so to speak? So I believe freedom is more of a mindset, a mentality. That's why the first statement Christ made was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent is not a religious word. However, we have reduced it to a religious connotation. But repent is really a word used in psychology, which simply means change the way you were taught to think, change your mental conditioning, change your mentality. So I believe we have to progressively allow people to, you know, be placed in a position or a situation or a circumstance where they can see themselves differently, where they can change the way they were taught to think, change or deviate from the mental scripting, the societal scripting. So I believe honestly that we really need to take time, take stock, and understand who we are. Yeah. Why do I think the thoughts that I think? Why have I not, you know, because there's nothing worse than someone who doesn't understand what he possesses.
Yes.
Someone also said, "Woe unto the land whose master was a slave," because it's a mindset. That's why when you talk about me meeting Prince Harry, I was, you know, I remember what Dr. Monroe actually told me about the royals. He said, by the time he was five, he was trained not to think like me. So when I met him, it was a fulfillment of what I was told. I said, by the time he was five, he was trained. Not, you see, and we as slaves are taught, I shouldn't say we as slaves, but having a slave history.
Yes.
Or that interruption of slavery, because our history is really not slavery, because having been to Ghana and having seen where we came from, having met with the king, you understand that we do not necessarily have a slave history, but there was an interruption of slavery.
Yeah. However,
when you see Prince Harry, how he operates, it's a mindset. He had no jewelry on. Even when he wanted the security, he just looked at them. There was no excessive communication. He just looked at them. So I looked at the embodiment of thought. That's what I talked about, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word what? Dwelt among men and became flesh.
Yes.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. You know, even David pondered, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you may visit him? For you have made him a little lower than yourself, and you have crowned him with honor and glory, and placed all the works of your hands under his feet." You know, so, and then he asks a question that I always try to contemplate. Do you know that you are God's children of the Most higher.
Highest, yes.
But you shall die as mere men. It's a mindset. So even Plato pondered, man know thyself. So literally become the manifestation of your thoughts. Thoughts become things. Everything that was made came from that which is unseen. The Bible is replete with scriptural references that speaks to the state of our mind and the power that resides within. So I believe that as a people, as a generation, we literally are flirting with being generational thieves because we are literally walking treasure chests. That's why it is said and believed that the richest spot on earth is the graveyard. The richest spot on the earth is the grave because there is potential unrealized. And most of us are marching swiftly to the grave, not realizing that we came packaged out of 600 million sperm cells. We were not called, but chosen. We were not called, but chosen. Out of six, so we're not even one in 600 million. We're once in a lifetime. I'm an identical twin, but yet I am once in a lifetime.
You know? I love that. You have been so inspiring today. You know, I had like five or six, maybe six, seven questions to ask you that would make this show even. But you answered them all. You went through my questions. You look behind my shoulders. You send your twin brother over here to see what I was up to. You know, my quote that I have that Betty Speaks live by is, strong people are not simply born. They literally resurrect and by sharing imprints that were generated throughout their life journey. So it's like we resurrect daily. We live and die daily. And we come up the next day with something new that came to our memories that in the night and shared them with the world each and every day. You actually went over some of the scriptures that I wanted to speak on about integrity. You know, I'm telling you, you were like in my notes, definitely in my notes. You know, Job chapter 27, verses 4-6. I want to share that with you here. Let me open up my Bible. It says, far be it from me that I should say, you are right till I die. You spoke of death. I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. You know, I heard that in your speaking. Job did not just face discouragements from his wife, because that's what it was talking about. He also got some from his friends, and then Job remained faithful, you know? And as I look at your history, I heard everything you said. There were times in your journey that you may remain faithful in your walk. It didn't matter what you experienced with politics or what was going on. And to see you're laughing at me, but I heard you talking and you were about my scriptures. Why the smile? Why the smile, doctor?
Because I remember when you said that, I remember Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added.
Yes.
And you know, when we say righteousness, people believe that it's right, you know, it's holiness or, you know, living right. But it's a word used in law.
Yes.
See the red light, stop at a red light. Because some people believe that being a man of integrity or a person of integrity, being righteous, is so far beyond the human grasp. So we don't even attempt. So it's something, sometimes it's really just doing what we know to be right. Because it's really an alignment. Sometimes, you know, it's like evil. Evil is a word that, you know, if you look at it, E-V-I-L is to live in reverse.
Yes.
Position to what God has intended. So sometimes right living is just living in alignment with what God has designed. Because each one of us, you know, it's like if you look at a puzzle and imagine yourself to be a piece in that puzzle, when you fit into that prescribed piece, only then do you stand out. So it's not about fitting in so much so than it is to understanding my place and that I was created predestined. You know, there's a that's why, you know, Dr. Monroe said something that I found to be quite interesting. My future is behind God. And he has perfected me. That is how he created me. So it's like my future was so complete and finished. That is why he started. You know, it's like for me, if you use your Apple phone, the logo goes on after the phone is finished. So every branding, the tag is the last thing that goes on when the product is finished.
Wow.
So we understand that we are a finished product and we just have to walk. You know, the Bible says walk before me and be thou perfect. Perfection, again, is not doing nothing wrong. It's just an awareness that there's a guiding essence. It's a progressive manifestation of who I am. We wouldn't get it all in the same day. We wouldn't get it all at one time. But, you know, we must have the courage to pursue excellence.
I'm done with you. I'm like, I am so done with you. You know, this is so good. I can listen to this embracing integrity with you all day long. And then the fact that you are a sincere leader, you are a genuine leader, and you take your leadership seriously, and you have your schedule is so, it's like everything you do it, you embrace it with integrity. Since we've been chatting for the past 2 months trying to get you today, it's like, okay, I take my kids to school. I have to pick my kid up. I have this, so I pretty much know your agenda, you know? And it's like you are, that's integrity, to be loyal to those things that you encounter, you embrace every second of the day. And I knew that you have, you know, you have a twin brother, but I couldn't believe it when I read that one day. I'm like, there's two of him, you know.
Yeah. And you know what is interesting? I saw today, actually, that in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Dr. Ruben West presenting or has presented the Astel Collins Global Inspiration Award.
Yes.
And I had never seen him chronicle my journey not in politics, but my journey whilst running for the city council.
Yes.
And he explained how the promises I made and all of that. And then he showed how after failing or not winning, I still, with my team, ensure that every single promise was fulfilled.
Yes.
I had never seen that, you know. I just see him presenting the award, but I've never seen the story behind it. And that thing almost drove me to tears because I've never seen it as something extraordinary. I just believe that the people deserved that type of leadership, whereby it is what was promised delivered, because I believe they were deserving. So I never thought of it as being extraordinary, but I love the way he spoke about it.
And, yes. And honestly, he did the same thing when
I saw your imprint. Yeah.
Yes. And it's like he's telling your story, and the fact that you keep going, it doesn't matter whether a person know that Dr. Betty Speaks was in a war, and you know, she's that warrior because she overcame so many obstacles. People see you, but they just don't know, is a song that he introduced to my life. I said, I would have never listened to that song had I not heard it through from attending one of Dr. Ruben's West events. But people do see us, and they really don't know. They don't need to know that Dr. Betty Speaks is legally blind in one of her eyes. See, look at your expression.
I know,
it's a lot. But we keep going. We keep going because I'm like waiting for him to remove the scale. And he may never remove it, but it doesn't stop me from being one of his chosen ones.
You know, it was Peter or Paul, one of them who talked about removing the thorn from my flesh.
Exactly.
Many marvelous things for others, but yet he had this thorn in his flesh, and somebody, it's an ailment, or you know. But God is faithful in spite of, and I have come to know that even when others may not be, he is. God is faithful. And sometimes there are things that keeps us, some struggles that we have are pruning, and we might ask for them to be removed because you want to be pure. You want your own definition of purity and holiness.
But he says,
in your weakness, my strength is perfected.
Yes. So
our weakness is also his design, his perfect design. So that's why you try your best, not necessarily to be a righteous, because the Bible talks, it said, it's so that no man may boast. That is because of my many works, you know. And then you know, I heard Kobe Bryant says, God is great. And the man said, is that simple? He said, yeah. When you're given a cross that you know you can't bear, and he reaches the cross and you. And that has been my life.
Yes.
That has been my life's experience. I was given a cross I could not bear, but God fetched the cross as well as he fetches me. And I, you know, that's why I try to not impose, but impress. Not to impress, but impress upon, that anything is possible, because I was literally the least likely. And, you know, and it's the fierceness and focus, I believe. You know, there's a poem that I wrote, I sought God and found myself, for I'm in him as he is in me. This is neither religion or theology, but the essence of spirituality. Humanity has lost its way, but he remains the potter as we are the clay. Life has deceived us into making a living when love is all of a giving. Time, though infinite, misrepresents the purpose of the fight. We battle for the greater good that is in mankind, not for the place of power to treat each other unkind. There's a presence that envelopes us with peace, and the same accepts us in spite of that unholy peace. We are lost but loved. We are disconnected yet cared for. He shouted and has whispered, call on me whenever you feel separated from the peace that I am. It's really saying that you're not an insignificant drop in the ocean of humanity. You're an ocean within a drop, because greater is he in you than he is in the world.
You make me faint. You know, and I don't even have another second to spare on this particular call, but I do. We're not even done with this interview. It was like so many other things, but God directed you in the direction he wanted you to go. I want to leave with our audience, and you know, Proverbs 19:1. Proverbs talks so much about integrity. So many of the other chapters in the Bible does as well, but Proverbs 19:1 reads that better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who walks crooked in speech and is a fool. And that's why we as Christians must have our priorities in order.
Right.
And that's what I see you as, a man of God, a man of faith, who has his priorities in order. And you've had phenomenal mentors in your life, which allows you to continue to have your priorities in order. And then you are an amazing mentor, So that's one of the scriptures that I want to leave with our audience today. There are so many others, Proverbs 28:6, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. That in itself speaks volume. But I want your final takeaway for today, because like I said to our guest earlier, this is one of those shows that is breathtaking. And you're talking nothing but real truth here today. It's evidence and proof that is in you and the leaders that have been before you, and some of our leaders that are still here today. You spoke of Prince Henry. You did. You spoke of Miles Monroe. You know, you talked about Maya Angelou. Shall I go on? But I'm going to let you have the final word for our show today. And I'm so grateful for you, Dr. Estelle.
Thank you for having me. Everything that counts can be counted. And everything that can be counted don't necessarily count. And I believe that it was Terence, who was a slave in 154 BC, who said, "Umo sum humanini ilmi alien puto," which simply means I am a human being and nothing human can be alien to me. So whatever is humanly possible is possible for you. Thank you very much.
This has been Dr. Betty Speaks. If you have any comments, you're more than welcome to comment on the radio station that we're on. We're held here on the shadymashaney.com. Definitely reach out to me at bettyspeaks.com if you can just put your comments there. And Dr. Estelle, how can we stay in touch with you?
Well, I'm on Facebook with my name, Astel Collins, Instagram as well. Yes. All those social media platforms, but yes, Astel Collins on Facebook.
Very, very, very prominent man of God and definitely phenomenal, phenomenal world leader. I thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.